message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
My name's Bella, if you didn't pick that up. And I'll be bringing the word this morning. If we've never met before, me and my husband Josiah lead the youth ministry here. And we love our young people. Where are you, Josiah? I was thinking he's usually with me. He's over there with the youth, typical. and we've been serving the youth. Oh, goodness gracious. You've been serving the youth since you were a youth. Amazing. We love this church and we love being a part of this church. So it's my privilege and honor to share this morning. If you're new or maybe you haven't been with us for the last few weeks, we're going through a series of messages called Stories. And each week we're going through a story in the Bible that Jesus told. And today we're continuing this series. And we're going to be looking... Oh, I'm like, should I give it away now? Yes, we're going to be looking at the story or the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Now, if you don't know anything about Jesus, one of the things you need to know is that he was a storyteller. He told stories and he used these things called parables. It's a strange word, I know, but he used these things called parables to unpack and illustrate the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And parables are simply a story told to illustrate or to teach a lesson that we need to learn. Now, stories are important. It's your story matters and my story matters. And stories are history has been handed down from generation and generation through this art of storytelling. And I actually believe that Jesus chose to teach through stories, chose to teach through parables, because in the end, we're all like kids and we learn best from stories. I mean, it's true. So today, the parable we're unpacking is the story of the wise and foolish builders. But I just want to pray as we open this morning. So Lord God, I thank you. As we unpack this story and as we unpack the mysteries and the lessons that you want to teach through this story, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us, God, that each one of us will be changed because of something that you want to teach us this morning, that every single person will be impacted by this message, that they will hear from you, God, and that they will leave changed and transformed because of it, God. So we dedicate this morning to you. Amen. There is nothing quite like being a child and listening to a story. The best storyteller that I have ever come across, and I still remember it today, was when I was in school. I had a teacher in school, and he was just a phenomenal storyteller. And he would tell us all these stories about his life that would just blow all of us students away. We would try and ask him about his stories so that he would disrupt the class, not go through the content and tell us the stories about his life. And he was such a good storyteller, and he was from America, and he would tell all these stories about how he was raised in the woods by wolves. And you're laughing, but I actually believed it for so many years. Like, yeah, he was a great storyteller, and he would tell all these incredible stories, which I later found out were exaggerated, still true, but exaggerated. And he was such an engaging storyteller. We would be so fixed on every word that he would say. He would tell stories. I remember one about how he blew up his sister's cat. I don't know to what extent the cat was blown up, but it's still an engaging story. He would tell all of these stories about all the crazy things that he would get up to growing up and his life, and he'd just retell them to us. And I remember being in school, and I always knew where he was at lunchtime because there would be a trail of at least 20 kids following behind him. They would be like moths to the flame. They just would swarm and be around him, and I would see him, and he'd be sitting down at lunch, and there would just be these students just surrounding him, sit and transfixed on every word that he was saying. Everything that was coming out of his mouth, he would just tell these incredible stories, and the kids would just come every day again and again and again just to hear the stories that this teacher was telling. And it made me think about a moment in the Bible with Jesus. And it's found in Matthew, the book of Matthew. Because you see, Jesus was an engaging teacher and storyteller himself. That people were so interested and needed to know what he had to say that people would flock to him. Just like that teacher, that everywhere he went, people would want to follow him and listen to all the stories and all the lessons and that he taught, and they would flock and surround him. And so there's a moment in Matthew, the book of Matthew, where Jesus is has a massive amount of people. It just says masses. So it could be thousands of people trying to get to him, trying to hear the things that he's teaching. So many people surround him, in fact, that he can't actually talk to each one of them. Not everyone can hear. So he moves up to the side of a mountain so that he can project over the people and all the people can listen to him. And this is where a very important sermon that Jesus spoke. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And you may have heard that, you may have not. But it's from this moment, I call it the Jesus Masterclass. Because in the book of, it's a lot of red in the Bible. You can see Jesus going through a massive masterclass teaching on all different things. In fact, he teaches on the Beatitudes, which you might have heard of. He teaches the story of salt and light, how we are salt and light to the earth. And he goes through really practical lessons on life issues. And everyone is so engulfed in what he's saying, they need to know what he says. What does Jesus say about murder and adultery and love and judging others and fasting and wealth and all of these major topics Jesus is teaching to the people? And they are just swarmed around him listening to this storyteller tell them all of these lessons, all these teachings. And his final note at the end of this massive sermon is the parable of the wise and foolish builders. And I look at that and I think, well, this must be pretty significant, because who knows, the teacher or the preacher always says at the end, if you're going to get anything from this, I want you to remember the one thing, this one thing I'm going to leave with you. And I think Jesus was saying this, if you're going to get anything from what I've just taught you, remember this. Remember this moment. And so this is what Jesus said. We're going to read this story in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. If you have your Bible, you can open up. If not, it'll be behind me on the screen. But this is Jesus talking. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, so whoever's listening to these lessons that I'm teaching you right now and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Bit of construction talk in there. It's a cool story, but the fact is, I'm not a tradie or a builder or a carpenter. I don't build things. I have a massive respect for people who do build things, though. Now, I'm not completely incompetent with tools. If you tell me to grab something, maybe 50% of the time I'll be able to grab you the right tool. But I have my claim to fame in the maintenance area, because I was the maintenance manager during the Quick Fit renovation that we just had. And everybody laughs at that point. In fact, I think a couple of my friends laughed at me and they thought I was genuinely joking. And I was like, no, that's my job. But here's the thing. The building still lives. The building's still standing. We're fine. But I have a real respect for people who build things. The only thing I've ever built is a bookshelf, and it couldn't even hold a book. It just slipped right off. But I have a respect for tradesmen, and I was thinking about, I guess the ability to build a house, right? Because we're talking about the foundations in a house. And when Josiah and I first got married, we moved into our unit, and across the road was this grassland. And I knew, I won't be enjoying this nice private view for very long, because who knows, if there's free land anywhere, it's going to be snapped up like that, sold, and houses are going to be built on it. And sure enough, that happened. What I thought would turn into three houses ended up turning into six different houses. And they weren't built all at the same time. They were built one after the other. So the construction just kept going on and on and on. But as I watched these houses pop up, I kind of got into the hang of like how each house is constructed. Now, I'm not an expert. I did have a tradesman come and give me the correct terminology last service. I've already forgotten it, so please forgive me. But I'm going to like explain it the way I think it went. So when the house goes up, there's a lot of underground work that happens before, right? The foundation is laid first of all. And when the foundation is laid after all the grass has been dug up and it's ready to go and there's plumbing and everything in there, there's a metal grid that goes in that cement gets poured into. And that creates the foundation. And that foundation is made to be strong. And the time that it actually takes to see that foundation set and set properly is almost as much as the time it takes for the house to go up. Like, I feel like you're waiting days and days and days or weeks and weeks and weeks for this foundation to be laid, to make sure that it's done right, to make sure that it's strong, to make sure that it's surfaced right. And then the house just like goes up like that. And so I saw that happen with each one of the houses. But I would focus on this idea of, yeah, the foundation has to be strong, because I think that it's important to have a strong foundation. Me and my limited construction knowledge, I think it's important to have a strong foundation. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I think it's possibly one of the most important parts of a building. Because if you don't have a strong foundation, the entire building is compromised. It won't work. One moment of bad weather can knock an enormous building down. If the foundation isn't set right or something goes wrong in the foundation, it'll mess up the entire house. And I kind of think that's like us. That if we are not built on the right foundation, we will be knocked down. Have you ever had anything go wrong in your life, ever? Yeah? Yeah? We're all laughing because we're like, duh, of course. Have you ever had anything go wrong, ever faced any hardship at all? We all have. I remember a time in my life, I think I was about 19 years old, and circumstances being what they were, I was the only person in my family in church, and life as a young adult became a bit difficult, as it does, if you know my story. If you don't, I'll explain later, but circumstances being what they were, they kind of led me to having to leave home. And I didn't have anywhere to go from that. And there was a season of, I think it was like maybe a month or 3 months or something like that, where I was living out of a suitcase. And I'd go to my shift at work, and I wouldn't know where I was going to end up that night, because I had no idea who was going to take me. If I'd stay with a grandparent or a friend, or ended up staying the pastors of this church as well. And I was tossed to and fro by life during that season. And it's funny, because I had absolutely no stability in my life. That season in my life was the perfect illustration of being tossed around. Not knowing where you're going to go, not knowing where you're going to stay. But I'd rock up to church every single week knowing, oh my gosh, at least I can come here. At least I can hold on to that. And it truly was a representation of how everything in life was unstable except for Jesus. And I think in times of trouble, in times of trial, in times of storm, that we really find out what we're made of and where our foundation in life is. I think if the past few years have taught us anything, it's that we really don't know what's around the corner. That the things that we thought were stable, the things that we thought were secure and sorted, we can't rely on that to be there all the time. Maybe it's your income, your job. Maybe it's your relationships, your friendships. Maybe it's your health. or the health of your family members. It's not always reliable. These things that we thought were stable actually aren't. It's kind of like sand. Have you ever built a sandcastle close to the shore, or seen a child build a sandcastle too close to the shore, and you know what's going to happen when that tide comes in? And they put all this effort into building this structure, and as they're building it, it looks stable, right? It's holding together. But as soon as that wave comes in, it melts the sandcastle away. Just melts it away, takes it completely out. And sand is funny because it looks stable. It feels stable at the start. When you've built your structure, it looks like, yeah, that'll stand. But it's actually so movable and so changeable. It's actually unreliable and inconsistent. And I think in our lives, we can build on things that are changeable, that are unreliable. Maybe you're in school and you think, if I just build my good grades, a good GPA, then I'll be stable and secure. Maybe if I get that job with a stable income, then maybe I'll be stable and secure. Maybe if I stop renting and finally get a house, then I'll be stable and secure. Or maybe you're looking for a relationship and you think, if I get a spouse, then I'll feel secure and stable in my relationship. I think that these are all things that we think that we're supposed to build from. I think society tells us that these things are the things we should look for stability. And that when we have these things, we're going to be all together. I even think the idea of having it all together is from society. That we should look like, I've got it all together. Can I just be honest, church? I do not have it all together. Like, I don't. My car broke down the other day. I was a mess. I did not go to God, first of all. I just complained about it. These things happen. Storms come. I did not handle it well. I'm not perfect. But it's funny how God actually never promised us that life would be smooth sailing. God never promised us all those things that are on your list that'll make you feel stable and secure. God never promised you that you would feel stable and secure. But the funny thing is that Jesus told us in the Bible, he gives us a warning and he says storms are going to come. Let's read it in John 16:33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. I didn't come into following Jesus with a warning label given to me, but there's one right there in the Bible. I think this should be advertised. Becoming a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect. False advertisement. It will not be perfect. Storms will still come. It's there in the Bible. Jesus tells us, in your life, you will have trials. And I think, thanks, Jesus. What a great encouragement. In this world, I will have trouble. That's amazing. So good. So do I just accept that? Am I meant to just accept that life is going to be hard and that's just how it is? Well, here's the thing. In your life, yes, trials will come and storms will come. We've all experienced moments where we feel shaken up and like we're in an unstable place, so we don't know what's around the corner. We feel like maybe we've been tossed to and fro. But when those troubles come, we can either choose to be tossed to and fro by our circumstances and by our situations, or we have the option to hold on to the rock that is Jesus. I want to finish that scripture from John 16:33 because actually Jesus has more for us. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So good. John 10:10, Jesus says this, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came so that you can have life more abundantly. But the difference is between a life with Jesus and a life without Jesus. Because a life without Jesus, you're going to be tossed to and fro. But a life with Jesus, the storm is going to be raging around you, but you're going to have something strong, a rock to hold on to build your foundation on. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. A structure built on the rock is made to last the test of time. I have some examples of structures that are built out of rock from history that have stood the test of time. The first one is the Colosseum. I've actually been here, but I was saying before, I don't remember it having a slice out of it. Like, is that new? Or did I just see the other side of it? I don't know. I'll have to go back and check that out. But you can see that the rock that stands, like that's so old and it's still standing. You can still go in there and walk around. The next slide will show us the next structure, the pyramids. I mean, what incredible buildings. I have no idea how they did it. Like, it's actually insane. All rock, still standing. Just incredible. And the final slide is Stonehenge, which I'm pretty sure there's a conspiracy about, like, we don't know how old it is, or like the fact that we don't know much about this structure, but it is still standing. It's made of rock, something hard, something to last the test of time. And I don't know about you, church, but I want my life to last like it is built on the rock. We don't build structures like they used to, not like this. In fact, during the early centuries when the Bible was written, they would start each structure out of a special stone called a cornerstone. We sung about that this morning, but I remember when I first sung a song with a cornerstone, I had no idea what this cornerstone was. So I did a bit of research and it unlocked a brand new meaning for me, and I hope it does for you. I did some research. What's a cornerstone? What's the purpose of it? And here it is. The cornerstone was the first large stone placed at the corner of a building. The builders would line up the rest of the structure from that chief cornerstone. It's from that cornerstone that every other stone is placed. The cornerstone indicates to the builders which direction they need to build from. And the cornerstone is the basis of measurement for the rest of the structure. One stone. Everything comes from that one stone. I thought that was really cool. It's funny because in Ephesians chapter 3, 19 to 22, it talks about Jesus being our cornerstone. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. The Bible uses a lot of building terminology. Maybe it's because Jesus was a carpenter and he wanted to slip it in there. But in Ephesians, the Bible says that Jesus is our chief cornerstone. What does that mean? What does it mean for Jesus to be our chief cornerstone in our life? Don't worry, I translated it for you. Let's go through the definition of a cornerstone. A cornerstone was the first large stone placed in the corner of a building, and the builders would line up the rest of the structure to that chief cornerstone. Translation, Jesus is the first thing we place in our lives, and we should line up our lives to him. The next thing, it's from that cornerstone that every other stone is placed. Translation, it is from Jesus that everything else in our life comes from. The cornerstone indicates to the builders which direction to build from. Translation, It is from Jesus that you get your direction for your life. The cornerstone is the basis of measurement for the rest of the structure. Translation, Jesus is our form of measurement. It is from Jesus that everything we do comes from. Every decision we make, it is the firm foundation. It gives direction from where we should build our lives. Maybe you're in this place and you're looking for some direction this morning, some answers. When you build your life from Jesus, He will direct your path. It is the basis of measurement for the rest of the structure. Jesus, our firm foundation. Jesus, our direction. And Jesus, our guide. So how will you know what your life is built on? How will you know? What impacts your daily decisions? Is it Jesus? Is He the one that you turn to first thing in the morning? Is He your guide? Is He the one that you turn to for comfort, for wisdom, for direction? Is He the one that you trust to be your provider? Or is something else impacting your daily decisions and you've actually built your life on things that are changeable like sand? Maybe do you think about your job first thing and how that impacts your decisions? Maybe do you think about how it'll make you look, your status and where you sit? Does that impact your decisions? Maybe do you think about how you look or how you dress? And that impacts your decisions, your income and the bills you have. Or does that impact your decisions every single day? Maybe your relationship or your desire to have a relationship. These things are movable and changeable. But we can so often base our decisions every single day on these changeable things. What are you building your life on? Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroy, where thieves do not come in, break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is." Don't build your life on sand. You know, people say this phrase, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." But I say, "Show me your foundation and I'll show you your future." Where is your life actually founded in? Because the truth is, church, the only reliable, unshakable truth is found in Jesus. And if you choose to build your life upon Him, even when the winds come, even when the storms of life come, even when you feel like you're being tossed to and fro, when you build your life on Jesus, you have something to hold on to so you will not be moved, so that you will not be shaken, because He is the same today as He was forever, and He is. If you choose to build your life from Jesus, you will stand the test of time. When everything from your life is built from Jesus, our chief cornerstone, when you choose to build from Him, you will not be moved and you won't be pushed to or fro, but you'll continue to stand just like those buildings. You will continue to stand. Come on, church, let's pray. God, I just ask that You'd help us to live our lives connected to You. That every day we would build our lives from You, that You are in fact our firm foundation, that You're steady, immovable, unshakable, even when the storms of life beat down on us. You want us to last the distance and You want to help us to lay the foundations of Jesus in our life today. If you're in this place, maybe you feel like you've laid the foundations of your life on some things that are shakable like sand. Or maybe you're in the storms of life right now and you feel like you are being tossed to and fro right now. That there are circumstances that nobody knows about, but you've just come into church and you're trying to look like you've got it all together, but you know you're being tossed to and fro and the storms of life are surrounding you right now. In this moment, you can come back to Jesus and just say, I'm here and I can't do it alone. I can't stand on my own. But Jesus, would you be my firm foundation again? Would you be the rock which I can stand on? Would you be the stronghold which I can hold on to? So Jesus, I just ask that for all those people that are coming back to you in this moment, God, that you would speak to them, that you would reveal yourself to them, that they would know that you are present with them and that you're immovable, that you're not shakable, but that you're consistent in their lives and that they can hold firm to you and they can trust you. They can trust you, Jesus, to be their firm foundation. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.